or a woman, you are welcome to come and help. So we welcome you to come out and participate and be a part of this great event. Actually, in the middle of the work, we have fun. And we enjoy working with each other and producing this very flavorable product. And I know nobody actually samples too much or anything. During that time, the miraculous event takes place. The candy's not fattening. And Lord, please track all these things I just said. But we have fun and we enjoy the work. And so please come out and be with us, and we would love to have you. Directing your attention to John chapter 21. Thank you so much for being faithful to the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you for pushing on, even though you're tired. You've been working this week, and you are here. Thank you so much. Thankful that the Lord has kept us in His hands and gave us traveling mercies. We had pretty much a flying trip to the Nashville area and back. Please keep the Burcham family and Sister Lisa in your prayers. And but even though the weather was kind of tough, God kept us all safe, and I'm thankful for that. In John chapter 21 and verses 18 through 24, when you're there, just say amen. Amen. The word of God here says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But then thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die." But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. Please remain standing. Place your Bibles beside you tonight. And let us go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your instruction and teaching. Lord, we ask now that your spirit would permeate the darkness. Shove away, push back the unbelief. And Lord, and allow your revelation to come in strong and greatly. I pray now that your spirit would prevail upon every mind and heart and life. And Lord, that we would conform to your call, conform to your duty, conform to your will, conform to your way. Lord, I pray now that you would anoint me to speak it and teach it. And I pray in Jesus' name that your spirit would break every yoke and destroy every stronghold and to prevail among us in our minds, our hearts, and our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could you clap your hands unto the Lord once again? I want to speak to you tonight on a subject entitled, "What is that to thee?" In our text tonight, we have the question, "What is that to thee?" Then we have a command, "Follow thou me." The question, say it with me, "What is that to thee?" Now say the command with me, "Follow thou me." A new chapter in the Apostle Peter's life has opened here in these scriptures. Now, and Jesus is expecting him to enjoy the meat of the word more than the milk of the word. The situation is calling the disciple, Peter, to a greater level, to a duty, to a responsibility, to a maturity in Christ. Peter had left all his life, if you will, left all of that behind to follow Jesus. He had abandoned many things. He had abandoned a lifestyle. He had abandoned a livelihood. He had abandoned people. He had abandoned many things in his life. And he walked away from the old man that he once was into a brand new beginning. And now here we can see, after this great sacrifice and this great commitment, he is still struggling with his present, or with his past in his present. Peter had left it all behind to follow Jesus, but Peter could hear from the darkness. He could hear a call from the darkness of his past, a beckoning call to return from following Jesus back into the oblivion, perhaps, that pulled him from time to time and allowed his mind to be persuaded, if you will, back to what he once was. And perhaps it was this call, and perhaps it was this temptation that was responsible for the disciple, Peter, denying Jesus three times. You see, if we are not quickly to sever the pull, if we're not quickly to sever the tie, if we're not quickly to somehow silence the voice that is in the darkness, that is from our past, then somehow that voice will have greater and greater influence upon our life. And somehow it will begin to affect how we actually follow after Jesus. So today I pray in Jesus' name that every mind, every heart, every soul, every person under the sound of my voice would reach now in the name of Jesus to your past and begin to sever that voice and to silence that stronghold and the advice from the old you. The old you cannot give us advice. The old you cannot give the new you advice in how to walk with God. The old you that was bound by addictions and bound by sins and bound by ungodliness, the old you cannot give you advice on how to walk holy and righteous and in truth. Can anybody say amen tonight? Finally, after the resurrection, it appears that Peter finally gave into that pull. After he saw Jesus on the cross, and after he saw the finality of it all, he was a little bit confused. He saw how he had failed God three times while Jesus was being questioned and on trial. And now he's feeling the condemnation. He's feeling the hurt. He's feeling the report, if you will, of the fall and of the denial. And now he's living in regret. He is living in condemnation, and so he revisits the nets, and he revisits the boat. He revisits the old occupation, and he goes and pays the old Peter a visit. And so now he is pulled, and he is torn. He is caught between two lives, if you will. Everybody say, "What is that to thee?" Now, with all of this turmoil in his life and this conflict of emotions and wondering who he is, where he is, and what was it all for, now he's fishing. Jesus walks into the midst of them, so it seems, and Jesus asked Peter and said hard things to him. Most of it had to do with the call that Jesus had placed on the disciples' life. For a moment, let us consider the question. Do you love me more than these? I have preached some of this, but in an effort to cover this story even more, let's talk about it for a moment. In John 21, verses 10 through 15, here you will find a revelation. These verses reveal the third time that Jesus walked in among them. Jesus says to the disciples after they have caught some fish, he says, come and dine. And after they have eaten, perhaps those fish were so delicious, they were so nourishing, and they were so comforting. Perhaps there was a few fillets still laying on the plate. Probably shouldn't bring up food, should I? Perhaps there were some homemade French fries laying there and some hush puppies. Perhaps the hush puppies was the kind that had a few little whole corners of corn left in them. And perhaps there was some of that favorite cheese that you like to use. The setting was just wonderful. Dim light, hard day of fishing. Jesus walks in amongst them. And they've just enjoyed their favorite food. And now Jesus leans back, perhaps, and he knows everything. There's just no secrets from Jesus. And there's just no accident that he walks in among them. Now please get this whole story the best you can here. He knows that Peter is not supposed to be courting the old man. He knows that the apostle Peter, or the disciple rather, is not supposed to be revisiting who he once was. Now, he knows that if the disciple was really, really, really connected with faith and really connected and engaged and given to his calling, then he wouldn't be confused about how he should be living right now. He wouldn't be confused with how to conduct himself. He wouldn't be wondering if he needs to go back to the boat or stay where he is. If he was really plugged in to who he was called to be, this confusion and this to and fro kind of thing wouldn't be happening in his life. Jesus doesn't mention any of that. He just walks up there, eats a meal, leans back, and he says, looking at them fish and them hush puppies and them French fries and that good meal, and he says, Peter, lovest me more than these? Now, that fish represented the old life of the apostle or disciple. That fish represented a whole way of life that man once had. Those fish represented more than just good food and something satisfying to the stomach. Those fish represented a call and a whisper from the darkness. Those fish represented a trade and a lifestyle that the disciple knew very well how to use for his benefit and his lifestyle and his behaviors and to make himself comfortable in this old world. You see, he couldn't stay on his position that the Lord had given to him and be faithful to carving it out and chiseling it out, even when he couldn't understand Calvary and he couldn't understand the crucifixion. He couldn't understand why he denied Christ. He couldn't understand why it all come unraveled. And he couldn't stay and just keep carving it out and staying faithful to what he knew to do when he didn't know where Jesus was. The only thing he knew how to do without asking anybody questions is to answer that voice from the darkness. We still okay? And so there he goes. And Jesus shows up. And then he gets nailed after he eats with a question. Can you imagine? Maybe Jesus had one of them grins on his face. You know, I don't know how it might have looked. But the apostle or the disciple, Peter, had to know that when he says, lovest thou me more than these? something down deep in his soul, in the disciples' soul, he had to know that he was busted. He had to know that he wasn't where Jesus wished he would have been. He had to know that Jesus felt like that he had to come and talk to Peter again because he just didn't have it. I don't want to be long, but I do want to nail this down pretty clear. Now, Peter had to know that Jesus was nailing him on a situation. The fish, the process of fishing, the boats, the nets, everything that came with the whole scene of fishing had called Peter off of his duty and off of his responsibility. The point to that event that Jesus didn't want Peter to revert back to his past every time hard places came into his life. Jesus didn't want Peter to revert back to that old call back into the darkness every time a walking with God didn't go his way. Every time a curve happened in living for the Lord and Peter didn't understand it, he didn't want Peter to develop a habit of regressing and going back. The boat, the fish, the nets, the water is not the teacher, and it's not the example, and it's not where we go when we're confused. Jesus didn't want Peter to develop some kind of pattern or habit of backsliding and getting lukewarm every time living for God threw him a curve. We still okay? The answer to the hard places is not found in our past before Jesus found us. If you were an alcoholic before Jesus found you, then when you get in trials and church problems and difficulties in living for the Lord, going back to the jug is not the answer. If you were an adulterer or some other type of sinful person before Jesus found you, then going back to that kind of conflict, chaos and darkness, is not the answer every time you get in a lull in your walk with God. Trying to get to a point here. Just because living for God turns out to be tough, hard and challenging. Just because you find a day where the compass isn't really pointing that clearly as to what you need to do and what direction you need to go in, that is no excuse to answer the call to the darkness. Still talking about what is that to thee? The answer in our current calling and responsibility in the Lord. Here I want us to understand that what God called you to be, what He has chosen you to be, what He expects you to do, therein is your answer to life's question. I knew it would go that way. You are going to find your answers, your solutions, your victories, your direction in what it is that God has called you to do. It is not in your past. It is not where you come from, but it is in what you have been called to do. You will find your strength to overcome in what you've been called to do. You will find your joy that the Lord says is given to you in what you've been called to do. You will find your victory in what you've been called to do. You will find your authority in what you've been called to do. You'll find your direction in what you've been called to do. You'll find your peace in what you've been called to do. You'll find your hope in what you've been called to do. You'll find your deliverance over your past in what you've been called to do. Can somebody say amen tonight? Can somebody bless the name of the Lord tonight? Then we have another set of questions. What shall this man do? What is that to thee? Taking care of a few questions tonight. Thus the question Peter asked in John 21, verses 20 and 23. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth me? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, that is what is that to thee? Follow thou me. When I should say, when this saying went abroad, scattered among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The dangers of gossip is destructive. And that's exactly what took this scripture out of sequence and destroyed the truth that Jesus said. But Jesus didn't say it was going to happen. He just said that even if it did happen, why should that affect anybody? Now, the principle that we have in this verse is something that I want to bring up. And I pray in the name of Jesus it will not confuse anybody. Jesus made a statement asking John the Beloved and the disciple Peter. He just says, now, if I let this live until I come again, what is that to you? The reason why he asked it that way is because the principle that Judas Iscariot was operating on was going to live until Jesus comes back. But Judas Iscariot wasn't going to live until Jesus comes back. So we have the satanic spirit of gossip and church division in the church today. And Jesus was saying, now what if I let it last until the resurrection, or until I come back? I should say it that way. Until I come back. What is that to you? Everybody get your band-aids out and put them on. What Jesus was saying is some things is his business and those same things is none of our business. Okay, so it's God's business that he lets gossipers and he lets these dividers of brethren stay amongst us. It is his business that he lets that happen. And it's his business that he lets it happen even unto the time that he comes back. Okay, but then he looks at his disciples. He looks at his people and he tells them, what is that to you? That sounds tough, doesn't it? You see, if somebody had a paper-thin skin, they would get all offended right there, backslide, and stay home. Everybody thinks if they had Jesus for their pastor, everything would be wonderful. I have news for you. He'd be tougher on you than I am. Because he'd say, watch it to you and walk on, and expect you to be following him right behind him. That's tough, isn't it? But I'm not going to say it that way. But that's the way he is. Because being offended is not in not a part of being a Christian. So when he says, what's it to you, or what is it to thee? He's looking at John, and he's looking at the disciple Peter, and he is basically sending them a very strong message. Now, I wish I could cover it all tonight, but I feel like I need to cover it this slow as I'm going. This sends us, if you will study the principle in which all this sets on, it covers many scriptures in the Word of God. And it covers the scriptures that deal with being strong, being men and women that of character, being sold out and committed, being focused on Jesus and all that He has done for us. This statement, what is it to thee, or what is that to thee, if I let this spirit live on, if I let this person live on till I come back, what is that to thee? Now, I'm nailing that down, saying it a lot for a particular reason. It is believed that the relationship between John and Jesus by some theologians was distracting to the other disciples because John and Jesus was extra close. Some say the distraction was living with the knowledge that there was someone among them that was a deceiver, and they were all trying to study out who the deceiver is, and they weren't growing in the Lord. The knowledge of this deceiver among them had pulled their focus and their minds off of where they needed to be, and now they got magnifying glasses on everybody. Okay? And when they asked Jesus this question, he says, what is it to you? Now, I want you somehow in your sleep tonight to get to hear what I'm saying. What is it to you? What is it to thee? I'm going to explain what Jesus is trying to say here, but he says it in a very harsh tone. Then some say that the disciples didn't know how to handle Jesus. What's it to you statement? They couldn't really understand his attitude when they ask. Consider the Lord's question if you are allowing another person, if you're allowing another person to keep you from trusting the Lord, if you're allowing somebody else to hinder you from serving God, if somebody else's behavior is tying your shoelaces together all the time and tripping you up, if there's things going on that keeps you focusing in other places and keeps you out there with your magnifying glass trying to examine everybody else, and you're losing sight of your real calling and your real purpose, then that's what this lesson is about tonight. When Jesus says, what is that to thee? He wants us to know that he doesn't see any real stumbling block to those who are focusing on the power of righteousness. Hear me close. The mistakes and blunders of others is not really no heel for a stepper if they are truly plugged in to the power of Jesus Christ. So many look at the failures of others to see if they can live for Jesus even though somebody else is messing up. So many people are examining the people sitting beside you. So many hide behind the hypocrites and say, when there's no hypocrites at the church, then I'll go to church. When everybody gets it right, then I'll go to church. When the church gets the way I want it, then I'll go to church. When they're living the way I want them to live, then I'll go to church. We still okay? Now, so many of us, we are deciding whether or not we're going to live for God by examining somebody else's behavior. Well, if my kids will get their head on straight, well, then we'll show up on Sunday morning. Well, if my husband will quit acting like an idiot, well, then I'll go to church. I get all kind of excuses. Oh, we would have been there a long time ago, but you know my mother, she dipped scold. I never could get over it. I have gotten all kinds of excuses. And the list goes on. But Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, as I have to roll this thing and bring it into a point, on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week, it boils down to the fact, what are we doing for Jesus? It's not about what somebody else is doing against Jesus or against the church. It's not about what Judas Iscariot is doing among the brethren. It's not about how much Jesus loves John. It's not about all of these other relationships. It's just not about those things. It's not about who can't live for God on Monday. It's not about who can't keep it straight to Sunday. It's not about what people are doing between the services. It's just not about that. It's not about who sows discord. It's not about who's gossiping. It's not about who's dividing the brethren. It's just not about those things. And if you are making it about that, then the devil is happy with you. One God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking apostolics shouldn't give the devil's business their attention. The business of a man of God, the business of a woman of God, the business of an apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller individual is much higher than the business of the devil. Remember, Jesus is the one that said it tough like that. What is that to thee? Peter, you're a man of God. You got a kingdom call on your life. You have the keys to the kingdom. You've been called and you've been chosen, Peter. Can I get a little bit rough right there? Jesus is trying to say, hey buddy, you've got one of the greatest callings in the kingdom of God any man or woman could have, and here you are out on this boat wasting time trying to be who you once was. It's time to come out of darkness into the marvelous light, get your head on right, quit trying to figure out who's messing up, who's fooling around, who's fouling up, and you come out of here and you get your hand on this plow and you start building a kingdom for God. You preach the gospel, you keep it straight, and if somebody's backsliding, what is that to you? In other words, don't miss your prayer session just because somebody's complaining. Don't back up on your Bible reading just because somebody is doing something wrong. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes, but that is no reason for us to mess up and for us to make a mistake. Things you love are going to get crucified, hung on the cross, but keep following Jesus. People are going to get twisted up. They're going to get confused. They're going to foul up. They're going to make mistakes, but you keep following Jesus. Oh, come on, Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church. I've got a call tonight to preach to you. What is that to thee? Let's keep our blinders on. Let's keep our eyes on the cross. Let's keep our eyes on Calvary. Let's keep our eyes on the time when He comes back. He's coming for a people who has kept their garments white, who's looking for that city, whose builder and maker is God. And what is all this stuff to us? People are messing up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you don't see Jesus in the office of a shrink, laid out on the couch with a headache, taking tranks. He's got a job to do and he's got a church to build. And he can't get off of that project. He's got a responsibility. He's building a church. I don't want anybody to take this out of context. Because he died for everybody. And he loves everybody. And he's willing to save anybody. Are you with me? And it doesn't matter what kind of sin you brought into this building. We got altars that work. And Jesus will meet you there. And he'll save you. And he'll deliver you. And he'll set you free. But the point is, teaching the church tonight, people are going to make mistakes. And they are going to fail God. But that is no excuse for you to quit praying. That is no excuse for you to quit telling somebody about Jesus. That is no excuse for you to turn around or back up. It's no excuse for you to lose your faith in Jesus. It's no excuse for you to end up losing your walk with God because of how other people are acting. You have a call, and that is to follow Jesus. It doesn't matter how they're acting, how they live. It doesn't matter what kind of mistakes. You've got a call. It doesn't change the fact that following Jesus is our duty. Just because the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and a lack of submission is messing somebody up does not rewrite your calling. Jesus said, follow me. Peter, you're going to see all kind of crazy stuff. What's it to you? You just keep your eye on me and follow me. That's what Jesus was trying to say. In other words, when you see all that crazy stuff and you hear about it, there's a Judas around you, don't get your magnifying glass out. Don't lose sight of what you're supposed to be doing and start trying to inspect everybody. You just keep following Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and truth. Let me try again to make it a little more clear. You are a Mount Pisgah. I'm talking to you right here. And this is what God has laid on my heart. You are a God-called, ordained people. And you've been put here for a calling and a purpose to fulfill a duty and a responsibility. And when people are creating distractions and people are creating hindrances and people are creating an atmosphere that's less than perfect to serve the Lord in, you got to keep your mind on Jesus and you got to follow him. And all these roaring loud sounds that dividers and all of the enemies of darkness will try to make on each side of your life as you serve the Lord, what is that to you? In other words, you are beyond that. You are above that. You are empowered with the Holy Ghost. And who are you to go give your attention to those fallen things? The attention that you are supposed to be given is to people that are hungry for the truth and that are desperate to be saved and called out of the darkness into this marvelous light. We're not supposed to be running around trying to just give all kinds of attention to these voices of the darkness or going back and visit our past and revisiting all these old things that keep us from following Jesus. Our call is to keep our eyes on the Lord and to fulfill the duty and the obligation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what is all this junk to us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I don't have to backslide because somebody else is backsliding. I don't have to become a liar because somebody else is a liar. I don't have to become a hater because somebody else is a hater. I don't have to become lukewarm because somebody else is lukewarm. I don't have to become an arguer because somebody else is an arguer. All I got to do is be a follower of the Lord in the morning. I got to be a follower of the Lord in the noonday. A follower of the Lord in the evening time. A follower
follower of the Lord in the nighttime, a follower of the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's all I got to do. And while I'm following God, I'm going to get an answer. While I'm following God, I'm going to get a direction. While I'm following God, I'm going to get a solution. While I'm following God, I'm going to have the power of God to get through the day. One more thing before I close. Jesus was not trying to be ugly, but deeds of the fallen nature, deeds of darkness, have nothing to do with you. So he says, what is that to thee? What kind of connection, Peter, is still in your life that you would heed to that? What kind of connection, Peter, is still in your life that you would rather pull out your magnifying glass and examine people looking for their faults and judging them? What kind of connection is still in your life that something would turn your focus from following me to examining and judging people? What is it, Peter, that's in your life that you would be more interested in who that is instead of what you are supposed to be doing right now? Peter, why is that more interesting to you than your purpose for living? Peter, John, said it to both of them. Why is all that more interesting to you? Why is it so interesting that it would stall and stop and clutter our moment of closeness? In other words, he said, if I let that spirit live until I come back, don't pay it no mind. Don't let it trip you up. Don't let it cause you to waste any sleep. Don't let it cause you to be derailed. Don't let it cause you to get off of your calling. That's my business. Your business is to follow me. I could have named this tonight, "Don't be distracted." Saints, it's not time to be distracted. Put your magnifying glasses up. Look into your past. Find out whatever it is that's still hooked up to you and cut that thing loose and get it out of your heart. Get it out of your spirit. Get it out of your nature and just say, you know what? I don't need all those things. I'm just going to have to put that in the hand of God, what people are doing and how they act and what they say. I've just got to put it in the hand of God. I can't tend to all that and tend to following Jesus too. I got to just clean my soul out and focus on what it is I need to do. Because Jesus says none of that stuff's big enough to hurt me. None of that stuff is major enough for me to give it any of my attention. None of that's big enough that I should even give it a moment. What is that to me? I'm going to keep serving the Lord. What is that to me? Well, they said something about you. What is that to me? Well, they think like this about you. What is that to me? I've got a duty. I've got a call. I've got to stay faithful. I've got to stay true. I've got to live for Jesus. I am not making a statement or suggesting that we should not care. We need to care and we need to pray for our enemies. But our calling is so important that we cannot afford to let anything derail us from what we've been called to do. Closing this evening, would you stand to your feet all over this place? Would you slip your hands in the air right now and just say, Lord, whatever my distractions are, whatever my hindrances are, what is that to me? Lord, I've got to get that power and I've got to get that calling. And I got to get that interest. And I've got to get that vision that my calling and my reason for being here is so important that I don't have time to give fallen natures any attention. I don't have time to be playing around with any of that stuff. because I've got bigger business. I've got greater things. These little fish of the world, I've got bigger fish to fry. I got kingdom fish I got to tend to. I got kingdom purposes I've got to deal with. I've got kingdom duties and kingdom responsibilities that I've got to tend to. The altars are open tonight. I wonder if we could just step out and say, Lord, help me to regain my kingdom focus, to regain my kingdom business, to regain my kingdom direction, to regain my kingdom calling. Help me, Lord, to sever the ties of the past and to shove these things away and to shove it out of my mind and my heart and say, what is that to me? I've got a kingdom. I've got a God to serve. I've got a lover of my soul to satisfy. I've got to reach Jesus. I've got to do His calling. I've got to fulfill His goal. I've got His purpose in life that I must accomplish. The altars are open. Would you come? What shall we do, Peter? He said, repent. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for remission of sin. Church, if you need to repent tonight, repent of sin. Take some stuff that's been occupying your heart too long. Pull it out. Throw it back in the past. Put it under the blood and say, I can't let this distract me anymore. I can't let it hold me back. I can't let it weigh me down. What is that to me? How does that relate to a man of God that's blood-bought and spirit-filled? How does that worldly object and that worldly way pertain to a Holy Ghost-filled woman who's pure and serving God in righteousness? What are those things to us anyway? Quit giving so much attention to these devices and trinkets. Shout out to Jesus!
I've been changed.
Quit revisiting the past.
I've been changed.
Quit going back. Holding conversations.
I have waited for this moment to come.
You're too important.
And I won't let it pass.
You're too valuable.
Be mine.
Your mind's too great.